You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Terrace Podcast. I am your host Craig Fowler and I am joined in person in his lovely flat in Ball Green, Edinburgh by Tony Anderson.
Hi Craig.
And we are joined by Sean McGuigan.
Hello there.
And it is the return once again of The List. That's right. For those of you who listen to the podcast a lot, you will know this is a podcast where we go through the best moments in Scottish football that have happened this season. And when we say best moments, we don't mean great goals, we don't mean great assists, we don't mean lovely little passages of play. What we actually mean is the moments that make Scottish football, Scottish football. The daft shit.
Brian Rice swearing.
Yeah. People that would say that only in Scotland.
Yes.
But then when you really dig into it, that's not true at all.
It happens lots of places.
Yeah. It has its own little
Scottish filter. Flair.
Yeah.
Yes. So we have loads of these. So what we do, so we've done an episode earlier in the season. We've done part one and then we've done part two for the Patreon. This is what we always do. We'll do about 50 minutes on the main show for the free to air and then we'll go to the Patreon to do an extra 20, 30 minutes.
We're going now, when we do, now that you're doing all your editing stuff, I think we should get Rob to do it if he can do it easier. Make it like, you know, like the List episodes, like a big film coming out. And it's like, have like a trailer coming in. The List. And then who's going to be on it?
Well.
A couple of the clips that can come on it.
Well, this episode isn't coming out this week.
Oh,
so okay. I don't know if I'm going to have time to make a trailer.
No, but I mean, in general, this is for the future. It's an idea.
But this
I'm getting ahead of myself.
This will be, I'm giving myself at least a week to do as much editing for this episode as possible. So I'm going to spend a lot of time editing the videos together. So it's just... rapid fire constantly. It's edited like an episode of A View for the Terrace.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Which is done with professional editors.
Well.
That's fine, and that gives Robert Borthwick a week to make a trailer. Fine.
The List. Always that. It's the same voice in all those film trailers.
That didn't sound anything like that.
The List. This summer.
Yeah.
This winter. Coming to a Scottish football podcast near you.
There you go. It's perfect. We've got
that in my voice, though.
Oh. The chili was too spicy for you. you said you wanted it spicy, but you've been coughing your lungs out since we had it.
I coughed, immediately went to the toilet.
Broke it.
Broke his window, broke the toilet.
It's a poor 20 minutes. Poor 20 minutes. For Fowler, and especially Tony.
It's actually midnight, we're doing this, in case I was wondering.
Right, and we shall begin with something that Sean already mentioned, and that was Brian Rice's very sweary formations don't matter interview after Alloa's defeat to Falkirk.
I felt a bit uneasy watching this.
It's because he's looking right at the camera.
I always disagree when you see people in Pine Bovril. I think Ayr fans mention it a lot, where they maybe aren't happy at the manager, and think that the kind of in-house media person is giving them softball questions, and they'll say, oh, if I was doing the interview, I'd be saying, why did you play that formation? Why did you make those substitutions?
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't eat your virgin. You'd shit yourself.
because it's this kind of reaction that you would get. I mean, Brian Rice does not take kindly to it whatsoever.
You know that's where it's going. You can tell he's already pissed off. And then the minute you hear, that was actually the first time I'd seen this one. I've seen you guys talk about it. But the minute you hear a guy's innovation, I was like, I know exactly what's going to happen here. He's going to react really badly to that, because managers do often, because I think all the managers share that same, and it's probably completely true. The formation is just a tiny bit of everything that matters. So I kind of get where he's coming from, but at the same time, you pick the formation, and that's another way they'll like it, because it's you that picks it.
I had a look at their team that day. It was all over the shop. It was such a ridiculously attacking team to be playing the best team in the division, but even at home.
That's what Alloa fans always said about Brian Rice, and that he, the formations could change every week, the personnel could change every week, and it was quite baffling. And I thought the interviewer was pretty brave to kind of mention it, because he mentioned the formation and said, did you think about changing it? And as soon as he says that, you can see that Brian Rice is saying, so you're saying this is my fault?
Yeah.
And he does not take kindly to that at all.
The voice cracks for the last question. He knows, like, I need to get out of Dodge fast.
Well, I appreciated the after Rice's quite angry, sweary response. He starts, he goes, well. And then there's just a pause before he moves on to the final question.
Because if I just say, formations just doesn't matter. Like, if I got Brian Rice in Secret Santa, I would have been tempted to get him a copy of Inverting the Pyramid. see what he thinks of that. Like, the evolution of football formations.
Secret Santa doesn't know who he's got.
I also, just what Bryce said, Bryce? Yeah, why not? Bryce. Just what Bryce said as well.
You've turned him in a Jedward.
He said he wants players to die for the club, and his next game he's going to pick 11 warriors to go to war. It's a part-time job for them, all.
just pick a decent formation, Brian. Very simple, very simple.
Next up, we've got Philippe Clement's general vibe after being announced as Rangers manager, particularly on Instagram.
Everyone slagged it off, and now turns out that that's what it takes to be the best manager. You need to have your own logo, and then you don't lose any game at all. You need to work out at the gym very, very earnestly on camera. And I'm going to presume, if anyone's introduced him to the High Performance Podcast, I guarantee it's number one in whatever podcast player he uses.
I must admit, I thought he was setting himself up for a fall. So one of the links was everything's in slow motion, and I think it's like maybe his first day at Ibrox.
Yes,
but it's like it's been filmed by Zack Snyder. Yeah, you know, like exactly everything. Like, I don't know if you've watched Rebel Moon. So I watched it a couple of weeks ago.
It's supposed to be rubbish.
It's not great. But let's say it lasts 2 hours and 20 minutes. See if you took out all the slow motion scenes, it would last about 44. And this, that first one, because that's exactly what it looked like. That you're right though. It's the one where he was working out in the gym. And to be fair, he turns 50 next month, and
great.
Maybe if I look like him rather than this kind of doughy disappointment you see next to you, maybe I would film myself in the gym. But I felt it was a strange thing to do.
It does look great, but at the same time, I just think these are it was just so how dramatic the music was. So the music was dramatic enough on the one with the tour of the stadium, which would have been great had it been made by Rangers. But the fact that it was made by a media company in conjunction with Philippe Clement, which was the weird thing about it. And I'll get back to that in a second. But the one in the gym, the dramatic music was taken up a level. But he's just doing bicep curls. Yeah. Some pull-ups.
He does the push-up things, but he needs to put the wee machine down to do it. Yeah. That sends Joel sideways, that. I can't remember what he says.
He is nearly 50. Aye. He is nearly 50. He's getting on a bit.
Dips. Aye. Assisted dips.
That was it.
His press-up technique as well, I thought, was quite poor. You need to tuck those elbows in. You need to tuck your elbows in so you get it full on your chest.
I repeat again, he looks... It looks really good.
He's only 50 as well, by the way. Sean, you've got... That's next week.
But what I'm saying, he looks pretty ripped. So he must be doing something right in the gym.
He's an ex-professional footballer.
Oh, but that was ages ago.
Kirk. He works on a training ground every day. Kirk.gun. Didn't like you very much. You're a pure weapon, Phil. You can't even buy a pot of hair gel. You're mad tic-tac-heed.
And that's what you leave yourself open to when you become Rangers manager and have an Instagram account.
We can slag him off, but it did end up kind of, it had the desired effect. It got the Rangers fans whipped up because there was one fan who said,
the fucking easiest thing in the world.
He said, these fancy Eddie media videos are concerning. Hasn't even played a single game yet. Ditch the movie star nonsense until you've won a few games. Love to see him do well, but no need for the self-promotion videos, which is probably the most sensible thing to write. But then he was getting abuse for loads of people. And there was, somebody that said, an amazing video, I truly believe we are ready now.
And he was spawn! He was spawn, I truly do. I love it. I love how they have proper slogans. It's so good. Like, that's why they'll love it, because he's got his own logo. When I saw the Philip Clement logo, talking about Zack Snyder, it actually looks like the start of a film like that. It's like, I've just started thinking about, I fucking wish Lee Johnson had his own logo. You know, like a bat, like an L and a J back to back. Like that, I would have been all over that.
If this was an episode of Family Guy, I would immediately cut to Lee Johnson watching this going, good idea.
Exactly. Can't believe, fuck's sake, I've never done that. I still have a job. Because how good it is, because it's cringy, but at least at a club the size of Rangers, there's gravitas. What have you, have a logo and all that, I mean, you're at Fleetwood Town. It doesn't really work. Doesn't really work to say.
Or nobody.
Yeah. You're asking people if they want to come to a lecture about management.
It's like the Fleet Croft video Rona Downbox, where it's just Lee Johnson in his house.
Gambling.
pulling like a teabag out of the car.
The big Bitcoin guy, Philip Clement. I'm getting these vibes from him there. Huge. Mm.
Right, still an Albion captain, Ross McGeechie, tries to get Falkirk fans sent off.
The weird thing about this, remember the... Because I suppose to compare it to something. Remember the Danny Lennon picture where it was St Mirren fans were in the background and it is like a piece of art and every single St Mirren fan.
No, wait, was it Lennon? Was it somebody else? No, after Lennon.
Was it quite recent, is it not?
It was definitely after Lennon. It was when they were struggling in the championship. It was either Murray or Ray or somebody that.
But every single one of them is, something has happened and it's made everybody irate.
Yes.
But see, with these Falkirk fans, there's only one person that's irate. See, if you were to blur him out and say, do you think anything even remotely interesting is happening in this game? Based on everybody else's reaction, you say, no. In fact, the game might actually be finished. Or it might be half time. Nobody's on the park. But this guy's furious.
You know when they get a booking if you try and get a player sent off? Yeah. So what happens if you're trying to get a fan sent off?
The fan.
This is what the blue cards are going to be for. Fuck. Sinbin, you have to sit beside the fan that you tried to get sent off.
The fan is losing the run of himself. Like, the fact that he...
That's the whole point!
Like, flicking the fingers is not enough. He actually has to lean over the advertising hoardings so that his two fingers can get closer to his face. I mean, that's when you know you're really angry.
Yeah. He looks like a sort of young Craig Brown. Okay. Oh, well. R.I.P.
The John Lundstrom, Kieran Dowell, natural chat during a Rangers social video and as part of their pre-season training.
Might be one of the most extraordinary bits of content that I think any club has ever put online.
It's brilliant. I absolutely love it.
Surely you just pull out of so many of made. The guys who make it, you just go like that. We'll just know you can't. It's unusable. It's like, can't be used. But they push in and go for the full 7 minutes. It just tells me that no one, and I love the guy at the beginning is the most optimistic guy doing, setting it all up, takes out, doing the clap. I knew nothing about the clap till I started doing a bit of telly. And I had no idea what it was for. I just do it. So I'm doing that. I was like, oh, this is a proper production they're on it here. And then they're just sitting there and he's like, just a wee bit of chat, lad. And then he's like, oh, you can just be quiet. You shouldn't have said that. He gave them the out.
I don't think he said they'll just be quiet. I think
he gives them an out. And, but then he says, as they're setting them off, just a bit of chat, lads. Maybe they expect
it natural.
Aye. There's a bit of joke where like Lundstrom seems to get a fright. Well, which I don't really understand.
Good
because
dusty roads.
He's been standing in front of him and leaning kind of into him, so he must know he's there. And suddenly Lundstrom, like startled, as if he just jumped out from behind him as he's pinning the microphone. I just get the impression that neither of those players wanted any part of that.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, he says, the media guy says, just have a chat, keep it natural. He says that 48 seconds.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Do you want to guess when it is until somebody says something?
So I checked today and it was roughly 4 minutes, but I didn't even know what they were saying.
It's 3 minutes, 58 seconds. So it's 3 minutes and 10 seconds later, John Lundstrom finally says something that you can't really tell what he's saying. And you can the body language of the pair of them is fucking brilliant because they just, like you say, neither of them want to be there at all. And they're doing the kind of thing that when you're in a car with somebody that you want to be with, you're constantly looking out the In a car, you look at the window, they're just looking at the side, but it's the side away from whoever you're with.
Yeah.
And you're also kind of like pretending to be really interested in stuff, like to break the awkwardness, so kind of looking intently at things around you.
And when you come to a light, counting how many seconds it waits for the light to change.
Yes.
Or doing this with your eyes. And then thinking that you've made the lights change.
Not quite what I had in mind, right?
I've never done that.
Whatever, there's that.
Because you can see as well that he thinks, you can almost see the cogs turning in Lundstrom's head where he's like, we need to say something here. It's been 3 minutes. We're nearly there. And so he keeps looking down to his left. And that's what I think he first says. He says something about the speed. And I think he's like looking at the pedal.
He says something about slow. But that's about the only word I can manage to
I think he's maybe talking about how quickly Dale's going. So he's maybe kind of looking. So he keeps going like that. So I think he's maybe like looking at Dale's foot, but he's like, he keeps looking, so he's like building up the courage to say anything.
And then, like, Dale's driving, but then it seems like he speeds up. And do you think he speeds up because he's just desperate to get out of this golf buggy? Because they're kind of on a, it's like in a dirt, quite a dirty road. So it starts to whip up a bit of dust. And then Lewisham goes, are you intentionally trying to get dust in my eyes? And then there's a response that, again, you can't figure out. And then Lewisham goes, for fuck's sake. But then that's it. That's the entire conversation for 7 minutes.
I'm enjoying the building up to say something. Speed. And then Kieran Doyle doesn't know how to react, just puts his foot there and just goes fast.
Unfortunately, blinding his passenger.
Yo, sorry. You're moaning about him not going fast enough. He speeds up, then you have a go at him for the dust going out. Have you ever understood how roads work? You're in an open vehicle. Never been on safari, John Lundstrom, doesn't seem.
I don't know. Maybe.
We'll find out. I would watch that.
John Lewisham on safari.
I don't know if it's Kieran Dow.
No, if it's bad as this, I
just the tigers can't even arse eating them. It's too fucking bored.
Tigers?
Safari?
Yeah, tiger safari. I suppose you could.
I don't know.
I think a safari is African.
Yeah, so lions. Mammals,
lions.
Yeah.
Elephants. Rhinos, I mean,
ultimately just a dangerous animal.
Yeah.
Raith Rovers celebrate win over Dunfermline with an image of the cartoon kind of two Pars players bowing at Raith Rovers' king on the throne, which I think is Louis Vaughan.
I wasn't expecting this. When Rovers pulled off the win, I wasn't expecting an illustration.
Really looks like Benedictus and Whiting are battling to have a closer look at Vaughan's testicles.
Mm. So this seemed to push some Dunfermline's fans' buttons that they weren't entirely happy with it. None more so perhaps than the former East Fife Mail reporter who, when Raith Rovers lost to Airdrie in the Challenge Cup semi-final recently, he tweeted the Raith Rovers Twitter admin to say, got any funny cartoons that you can tweet out? Unfortunately, approximately 16 hours later, his team lost 5-0 at home to Morton. But all's well that ends well. But in terms of this one, I mean, if anybody should take umbrage, it shouldn't be Dunfermline fans, it should probably be Lewis Vaughan. Because A, he doesn't have a severe squint.
Yeah.
And B, he looks like Tyrone from it's like that illustrator's done a lot of stuff for Wraith this season. I think a lot of this stuff is very good. I didn't think that was the perfect reproduction of Lewis Vaughan.
But the people, I see all the replies, the usual small time. But the whole fucking thing's small time. Football is small time.
Yeah, it's just laugh.
Like the whole thing's like how seriously everyone takes everything for something that is just a game is small time in its nature. So I like all this shit. It's just stupid. It winds everyone up. And if you're getting wound up by a cartoon like that, then that's your problem.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think there was some, the Dunfermline fans said it was a bit weird.
Certainly agreeing there.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, that makes it fun.
But their stuffed bear once came out in a cardboard tank and their PA system had bullets firing. I mean, that's quite weird as well. Everything's weird. It's just a laugh.
That was good. It's just a laugh. That was also good.
It's just a laugh.
Staying with the same game, James McPake says Raith Rovers celebrated their win a bit hard. And this is a reminder that this is the same man who flashed 1-1 at the United fans earlier in the season.
I honestly think there is nothing worse than the celebration piece.
Yeah, it's the worst. Oh, it's the worst celebrate.
I always think it's the sign of a bad loser. Like it was the last minute. Like it was a last minute.
And a derby.
And a five derby. The bench is going to celebrate reasonably strongly.
It's always the worst part of football. It's not just a bad loser. I think it's normally a deflect tactic as well. When you see another manager do it, it's a way of trying to take the deflection that obviously something's went wrong for them. at the end of the game, and it's always like it's always a bit eye rolling, and it's so like transparent.
Yeah,
it's just a bit shit. It's reared its head recently down south again because of the Odegaard taking pictures of the taking the camera and taking pictures. But I like all that. Mm-hmm. When the players are doing daft shit on the pitch and everyone's letting loose and everyone's not being a robot anymore and it's just pure emotion, then that's class.
It's funny, like for years in the NFL for years, like players weren't really allowed to do much celebrations at all. There was things you weren't even allowed to spike the ball. That was then would get you like a 15-yard penalty kind of thing. And the people like fans slagged off the league saying like they just don't let the players do it and like called it no fun league. And they've kind of relaxed that now.
Oh, because that's the NFL.
Yeah. No very, fun very clever. Very, very, very clever.
I see what you've done.
It was a beat. All
right, okay.
But yeah. But they've relaxed that now. Players do a bit more kind of intricate dance and stuff. It looks a bit daft to me. But anyway. But in football, it seems like fans want that. Fans want like players to just not do it. Just after like scoring, like pretend you've scored before. And that's it. Just head back to the halfway line. Don't do anything fun at all.
It was
especially if you're the opposition.
It was pointed out to me that James McPeak wasn't celebrating the 1-0 draw against Dundee United. It was that he was getting barracked by Dundee United fans, and that was his comeback, holding up 1-0.
Just as a manager, don't get wound up by opposition fans.
But remember as well, like that's still a rubbish comeback because Dundee United had just equalised in the 93rd minute. That's also a terrible comeback.
A game between Whitburn and... Right, I have never heard this place pronounced before, so I'm going to go with Dooney Pace.
I thought it was Dunny Pace, but I don't
Dunny
know.
Pace,
I don't
Dunny
know
Pace.
For certain.
You never know with a lot of Scottish places, they like fucking...
And they all get fucking...
Like fucking
up.
Mill Guy. I mean, what's that about?
Aye. I got dog's abuse for calling... Coleraine. What was it? Collarin. Deservedly so.
That's Irish.
Yeah. But I just don't know things. Don't that educate. Sorry.
So yeah, Whitburn and Dunny Pace,
I think so,
has a physio punched in a melee and then the game is abandoned due to the goalkeeper getting injured at the halfway line.
Now, when I was reading this story, that I can't remember which team's goalkeeper gets injured, but the opposing manager is interviewed afterwards and he says, the quote is something along the lines of, one of my players may have caught the goalkeeper slightly, and I'll be honest, my brain interpreted that as one of my players fucking milked the goalkeeper.
A bit late on the bottom of his legs.
That's it, a bit late on the bottom of his leg.
It didn't look anything bad. But the goalie stayed down. We were wondering what was going to happen. Whitburn didn't want to move him. They had no stretcher.
No stretchers.
People were on their phone trying to get an ambulance. So it is like, is this mass panic? Or are they, because is the insinuation here that they're, because they're one that they're trying to get the game sort of abandoned?
Yes.
Yeah. So, oh my God, pretending to phone an ambulance.
Get rid of the stretcher. Get rid of the stretcher.
Oh shit, I thought it was 911. But I love the sound of it. I absolutely love the sound of it. People hiding all their shit. It's just like, just see it the last 5 minutes, surely. I've never heard like people try to get out of a game. Just so it just seems so like ridiculous. Why bother? Just fucking play.
And the goalie apparently himself was like, oh, that's fine, I'll come off. No, you stay. We'll get this game abandoned instead.
Our physio went on to help the goalie as well, so the opposition teams. And the goalie was saying, get me off the side. But the Whitburn guys are saying, we're not moving you. I mean, the goalie, like, this is absolutely bizarre. If you're not in on this decision at all, like, why is nobody helping me? And I am actually serious injured. I've got work tomorrow.
It says in the copy as well that he's damaged his ligaments, which, yeah, but... Players, when they damage their ligaments, if it's a knee ligament, like they don't often get, like, sometimes they get a stretcher, but often they don't.
And they're very much
like, Craig Halkett, Benny Beringame, they were out for a year with ACL tears, and both of them, Halkett walked off with the aid of the physios.
They probably shouldn't have done.
I don't think it matters. And Benny just limped off. So you don't necessarily need a stretcher for an ACL tear.
This game very much reads like a kind of Tesco value equivalent of the Battle of Bramall Lane. It's a really cheap version of it.
The referee just blew his whistle. Have you saw it? Who went on to win? Do we know anything?
I
was annoyed at the referee. Just play the last 5 minutes.
But around the stricken goalie.
If it stayed 1-0, we would
have somebody else could go in goal, surely. Just play the last 5 minutes.
I bet they're going to pick up.
They don't have to put an outfielder in.
That's how it works in football. They just get to go, make goalie.
I don't know if the SFA rules that referees allowed to just play a game when somebody's just down injured and halfway like. The players are just playing around them.
Honestly, I think there was something he could have done. I really do.
Should have checked this up.
I mean, is the goalie still there? because see if the goalkeeper still isn't lying there, then there was something they could do. They could move him.
If it had stayed 1-0, we would have been top of the league and now we're totally in the dark until the end of November. And I feel guilty that I never noticed that and checked what actually happened.
Whitburn FC results. Let's see if I can find this.
Whitburn FC is hard as hell.
So who were they? Aye, so playing, who was at home? You have that?
Well, I don't know. Just Google Whitburn and Dunny Pace.
Oh, yeah, Whitburn at home. Right, let's see. So they played and get out. It was 1-1.
It worked. Did they play again?
They played again. It was 1-1.
Oh, yes. Brilliant. Right now,
so it worked. Right, it worked for Dunny Pace.
Now I need to get on the phone to Nick Montgomery and the next plans. If we're 1-0 up in that derby in a few weeks, tell David Marshall to just stay. Nobody move him.
As long as you've got the referee from Whitburn Dunny Pace.
Who was it that was winning again? I'm completely...
It was Whitburn were winning, I think.
Whitburn were winning.
Yeah, because Whitburn were winning because they didn't want to move him.
Right, aye. So brilliant. No, wait, sorry. Whitburn were winning.
Well, they didn't want to... No, sorry. Dunny Pace were winning.
Right, okay.
And Whitburn didn't want to move him because they wanted the game to get
abandoned. Aye, so it worked perfectly for Whitburn. Right, well done. They ended up getting a draw out of it.
Playing a very clever game.
Yeah, they've done well.
It's 4D chess.
Games leadership.
I mean, they talk... Yeah, people call him... Talk about shit houses in the dark arts. There's the apex of that.
You know what I'm laughing at? You've scrolled up for that article and now there's a dog scratching its bum. rambling it for some reason.
Top end of Rivette reveals the worst dog food you can buy. it gives you a dog ring sting. I mean, Jose Mourinho would be reading this article like nearly with a tear in his eye. He'd be so happy.
Rangers fans unveil impressive pyro display away to Dundee, end up setting off smoke alarms and causing a delay to the match.
Good laugh.
It looked quite cool.
It looked cool.
It definitely looked good.
I must admit, I've always kind of stuck up for pyro. However, like in the last few months, there was somebody at Starks Park got their coat set on fire, and another week that Celtic fan's head went on fire. I'm now starting to think of maybe isn't that safe?
He's the road, the guy. The guy's head goes on fire. Someone just posted a picture of Joe Pesci in Home Alone.
I mean, it looked quite serious. Yeah. Calmly putting out his head.
But just like that, I know it's a tough job, sure then, and I know, I understand things will always get in, but how come every single person got in with pyro? I understand one or two may get through with your cans or whatever, but every single person, you've not searched anyone. It's as simple as that. You've not searched one person.
Maybe it was just one person with a massive bag, distributed them once he was in there. His bag's the size of a hot air balloon. But we'll search him. Nah.
But they certainly look cool, but those stands at Dundee are wooden.
St. Johnstone sacking Steve McLean and then scoring one less goal in the first 7 minutes of their next match than they'd managed all season to that point.
Did they not score the first half of 44 seconds?
Yeah.
Like Steve McLean must be in the house saying, pricks.
Nicky Clark had only played for him once. That entire season, that was a game before when he got sacked. So he must have just... And Nicky Clark's got 4 goals in 10 games this season. He's only played 10 games. It tells you a lot about his availability.
It's just... it's one of those that, like, all the kind of BBC pundits who be like, he can't sack him. What, the job he done last season? Brilliant. Bro, he doesn't deserve to do his... All right, okay. Maybe it was his fault.
Hibs losing to Aberdeen at Hampden despite dominating the game and Aberdeen having 10 men.
You missed the Sky just superimposing Craig Levein's
head
onto McLean's body. I thought that would dovetail nicely with McLean.
I thought that was very funny because it also looked like they'd done something to his face. So he'd like his face looked a bit trimmer as well. I suppose so it would suit the body a bit more.
Yeah, Craig Levein looked great.
And the thing is but obviously they hadn't had enough time to do a photo shoot with Craig Levein. But Craig Levein, even as a player, before he didn't look that good ever. So Levein is like
Craig Levein, you've never looked good ever.
Craig, can we get you in for that footage? Nah, I'm busy.
But if you're going to superimpose anything, then why not get Craig Levein in a Hearts tracksuit and then just stick the St. Johnstone badge on it? Would that not make
that
a bit more sense?
That sounds tougher.
Nah. Is it? Why?
I don't know.
You're the one who does all the editing.
You tell me.
I think that would be a better fit.
I was cheesing about a fortnight ago because I walked out to make, you know, like the pictures the right size when you take them from Twitter and that when you do a screenshot. Oh, is that what you did? Brilliant. I was delighted. Fuck, I'm a genius. I'm a whiz. But aye, they make Craig Levein look absolutely brilliant. Huh? Looks absolutely tremendous. Mm. Trim his area. I'm sure he was delighted. Talking about fucking Philip LeClerc. Come on, looking good for 50. Fucking hell, Craig Levein at 65.
Right, you stalled me there slightly, but let's get to it.
Let's get to it.
Hibs losing Aberdeen at Hampden despite dominating the game and Aberdeen having 10 men.
Is that part in itself? I suppose
it was brilliant. It was so Hibs.
It was very Hibs. It was Hibs in every way, shape or form. Then we got very carried away in the game, putting everyone forward, even though extra time is very good for the team with 11 men against 10 men. I think, like, just relax. We're in no rush. Why have we suddenly got in a real rush to win this? And then Majovski ran away from Levitt, who's running through mud.
And Levitt visibly slows down.
Yeah. Come on, Dylan. It's last minute, son.
Was this a game where, like, even by Chris Finn's standards, like, he had a real inquest on Twitter with this? A real inquest.
Yeah. Well, when I on the way home, he just spent, we were pissing ourselves on the bus drinking, just making up slander names for Nick Montgomery, all Australian based. And he must have spent 3-4 hours of the rest of that evening standing at a bar thinking up slander names for Nick McGowan, just tweeting furiously. That's all you were doing. You couldn't do, if you went over, you had to get involved in that or just go away. That was the only two things happening.
I'll be honest, I like his inquest. Very good.
Very fun. So that was a laugh. And that was when I think Nick Montgomery said that he hopes the best team wins. Hopes football wins. This is the real stuff, Nick. This is the real stuff. This isn't the A-League. We hate them. It's pure hatred here. We want to win. Full stop. So we need to get you understanding that soon. I nearly got kicked out of Hampden. Just before the goal, I'd went upstairs and I'd snuck my, my classic away day. Hip flask. Yeah, I snuck it in. And I was steaming, obviously, because for the Hampden, I think it was like a 5 o'clock kickoff, maybe. It was a late kickoff.
Oh, yeah,
on a
it was
Saturday.
An evening kickoff.
So we'd been in the, like, we got the bus at 12, so we'd been in the pub for like 4 hours before it. And I just went up and I bought my juices and I just took them to the side and not sly at all, just like, like that. Like, what the fuck are you doing? this is actually not allowed. And then she was like, you'll need to pour them out. I was like, aye, all right. And she's like, you'll need to bin that. You need to give me that. I was like, can I just empty it all out and keep my belongings? And they wouldn't let me. She was like, you had to leave. All right, I didn't actually want to leave because it's 0-0. Put it away, walked to the stairs. All right, it's 1-0. Right, see you later.
When do you think the last time a manager said, may the best team win? I think it must have been in our top hat. 1949.
Yeah, it was a bad one. I was like, oh, no, that was very much what I go, not this fucking guy.
There was also Martin Boyle missing the next game because he hurt his knee celebrating a goal that didn't count.
Yeah. Because he'd done a knee slide.
And then Aberdeen ruined the goodwill by putting on their Twitter handle the official account of the Viaplay Cup finalists.
I'm still more okay with them putting that on their Twitter than the 2 stars on their strip.
Agreed.
Like Viaplay Cup. Like how often teams are in the final of the fucking League Cup. Like Hibs and Hearts and that. Like when finals fucking, it feels like every single season. Lose them, of course.
Yeah.
But a final against the Old Firm is like day-to-day stuff for a lot of clubs in Scottish football.
Did they change it full time in the final? Like defeated finalists via Play Cup.
Runners up to Rangers in the Via Play Cup.
Like we all knew it would be.
Michael McAdoo begins the Dave trend.
I think the very first one was 3.5 minutes and it was either 12 or 13 Daves. I watched it back again. But the funny thing is, at the end of the interview, because each one he uses, it feels weird. It doesn't feel like a natural thing to do. He's a very intense character. But at the end of the interview, Dave, at least I'm guessing that's what his name is, says, listen, thanks for your time, Michael. Really appreciate that. And at that point, Michael goes, thanks, guys. And it's like, see, if you'd said, thanks, Dave, at that point, that would have been the least unusual Dave you've used in the entire interview. But you don't use his name at that point.
Because I mind we were talking about just the most obvious thing that we'd done a podcast when Telfer was in the work, so I was doing a lower league one with you. It was just the realisation this guy's been doing, like, reading a How to Win Friends.
Well, it was confirmed by Ali Moncrief on the recent patron of them, that is exactly where it's from.
Oh, wow.
It's from How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Just by saying that, aye, I could tell it was so calculated, the whole thing. It was not natural at all.
But everybody thinks it's weird.
Yeah.
There's no winning friends.
It doesn't make me want to be friends.
I don't think I dislike him right enough, but still weird.
I'm going to listen to that. So I've not heard that Patreon. I'm going to listen to that.
Luke Robinson and Victor Latore are both booked after the former performs a WWE move on the latter.
So Robinson is very much like the sort of Ric Flair flip, you know, like he used to do.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, I was almost waiting to see Latore stop him, like what Hulk Hogan used to do before the Hulk Hogan. And then he runs away like that. My favourite parts of wrestling like that is people, they do the whole dramatic thing like that, like, but you can just go and bar him while he's doing that. You just don't, whoa, wait. When you're younger and you don't understand yet, fucking fight him.
Hulk Hogan's ability to completely incapacitate somebody with a finishing move that literally everybody else done as part of their usual repertoire was quite something.
I suppose
just a leg drop.
I suppose The Rock was that.
Oh, that was a lot of shite at all.
Because people, I like it when people try to, like, rather, even though everyone accepts it's entertainment, they try and explain, no, it's because he takes the elbow pad off. That makes it harder. Come on now.
I really disliked Hulk Hogan. Because at that point, well, I was quite young, I actually quite liked wrestling at that point.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, I really disliked Hulk Hogan. See, when he used to, like, folk would punch him or whatever, nothing would happen, and he just, like, kind of wiggly
finger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck off.
And then he'd make out, and he makes up more things than anyone on the planet, old Hulk Hogan. He claimed that he was, did he not claim he'd done a gig with someone? There's loads, there's a whole thing. Just about 2 seconds.
Okay. Right, so this isn't the part of wrestling, this is like Hulk Hogan, the actual man saying all this stuff.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan lies. Honestly, there's whole Hulk Hogan, there we go, it comes up straight away when you type in the Hulk Hogan. 23 of the most outrageous lies Hulk Hogan has said.
You should be the next Celtic manager.
Oh, man. He was with Very Von Erich before his death, and then I'll get some good ones actually.
Oh, there's a film about him.
Mike Tyson was scared to face him in a boxing match. Brought up, and he's all over that. George Foreman were supposed to take each other on a celebrity boxing match for charity in the '80s. Well, that doesn't seem so far fetched. There's no current evidence that ever happened. And he just claimed.
Do you think Mike Tyson's ever been scared about anything?
No. Certainly not by a wrestler.
He was supposed to be the face of the George Foreman grill.
but it was still going to be called the George Foreman grill. That does not make a lick of sense.
What they used to say that...
It's so good, I put my name on it, brother!
Now, what was the ones that... he killed a Japanese wrestler and he had to bring back to life with CPR. It's completely made up. He also claimed that he fought in wrestling. I think he said rather than 352 days in a year, 365 days in a year, sorry, he said that he'd done over 400 days, and it's because he was fighting in America and Japan, and during the time he's fought in more days. But there'll be, I mean, this one, I'm sure there'll be loads of people that listen to us who could tell you loads of stuff that he's made up over
what
time.
What was it about the Make-A-Wish kid?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, no. Don't know if I want to know this.
There's just loads. It's just all so. Like, he claims he, like, partied with someone. I can't remember who it was. And he outdrank John Belushi after WrestleMania 2.
He definitely
did. And he marred it. John Belushi was dead.
He's already dead.
He's already dead. Just factually incorrect.
That's true. He did outdrink him.
Yeah.
Surely he outdrank a dead man.
Oh, Hulk Hogan had 10 pints, John Belushi had none.
So, aye, there you go. That's just an example.
What a sliver. What the hell?
But, it's a whole thing that Hulk Hogan just lies constantly, always, in his autobiographies and that, just all made up nonsense. Even though you will have a really interesting life anyway, you don't need to lie, brother.
Aberdeen making a right royal arse of their Viaplay Cup final ticket allocation.
I like how that just started, we've not mentioned anything about that, what actually happened on the pitch. For the
oh, yes!
I'm fine with that as well. I mean, you've covered it on a pod before.
It's just weird. Aberdeen deciding to. I was trying to remember this because the statement that I'd keep a note of didn't mention it, but they had one tier. They had a very kind of high tier for supporters to buy tickets in. And then Hearts do it. It's like, right, and then it's like X amount of loyalty points and X amount, and it keeps going down until it's eventually general sale. Aberdeen just had one sale for people who, whatever they do, whether it's loyalty points or whatever. And then it was immediately to general sale. Mm.
And I think you could buy quite a lot. You could buy one for, like, if you wanted your whole family to go. But they were worried, obviously, that a a load of Rangers fans would buy tickets or whatever. So well, it seemed to be that was the issue.
They removed those. Normally they have those sort of like things in place to stop that from happening, but apparently they'd been removed. They hadn't done that properly, but they'd done the general sale. So it was literally a free for all.
Yes.
And you could buy as many as you wanted.
And Rangers fans could buy them. And then they also responded by cancelling and then refunding tickets of Aberdeen fans that already bought them.
Yeah, and some of them had a problem because they lived in places that seemed more like Rangers. So I was just imagining them coming to the door, give me the tickets. So like they absolutely fucking, like just think how embarrassing it would be, because everyone knows it's happened. And if there are Rangers fans in the end on the day and fighting breaks out, oh, there it is, that's happened. Remember, everyone knew this was going to happen at some point due to the...
But then did they not have like really quite earnest apologies? Like in the days afterwards as well, was there...
Yes, it was very heartfelt from Alan Burrows that the cover like made a mistake.
Was there not like somebody who just worked in the office? Like apologised about
this? Yeah, I forgot about
this. There's something very odd.
No, because this is the new thing that's happening. You know how everyone involved in football talks like a player? Even if it's like people for the ticket office.
Yeah.
It drives me fucking mental. Because this person, I think he'd done that, I'm sure there was an Aberdeen, and they moved... And later on, they moved from Aberdeen to Celtic and they done like a Twitter thread thanking Aberdeen and talking about how it was such a tough decision to make to move to do the ticket office. So but you can't, they never actually said this, but again, are you about to say I can't turn down the opportunity to sell Champions League tickets? That's where it was going. Now everyone's doing these sort of things, like someone moves from one fucking kitchen at a football club to another.
Like putting a note... Like on the notes app.
Yeah.
And then screenshotting it and then sharing that.
And all you do is work in an office, mate. It's no different than any other office. It's a football team. I would say Sean moving from Standard Life to RBS would be on there. Oh, it was a really tough decision. I gave my best years of my life to Standard Life and I hope everyone remembers that. It's absolutely, it's unhinged insanity. You're just a person who works in a ticket office.
I'll miss the banter in the break room.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing wrong with working there. I'm not saying that. Just that you don't need, nobody fucking cares. Of course they don't. Just to someone who works in the fucking ticket office. It's absolutely insane.
It's insanity.
Sorry, it doesn't really fucking done my head in when I thought, like, what the fuck is going on?
It's really worked up about that, isn't it?
To be fair, rightfully so.
Shut up, who cares? You're just moving jobs.
Shut up!
You're just moving jobs. Admin worker moving from one place to another. You're just a normal person.
It's kind of the social mediaification of society.
Aye.
Like everybody thinks they're a deal now. Thinks that nobody cares.
Yeah, I could not care less if you're now going to print the tickets at Parkhead. Is that a big move? Just to move to Aberdeen to Glasgow? That's probably more interesting than anything. Tough to get a house at this time of year. Had to pay off the move, so I've signed a pre-contract, but I'm going to get everything sorted for next season.
They made them a lot of mistakes in the first 6 months of work because they were too busy living in a hotel. They haven't been settled yet.
Absolutely, aye. They're burnt out to stay in Aberdeen. Insanity.
The entirety of the 79 days Derek Adams had in charge of Ross County.
Has anyone been ever clearer than that they knew they made the mistake from day one? Sabotaging his whole time there from the second they arrived. They just looked like pissed off with the word go.
Didn't know, I could be misremembering, didn't know actually start okay. Like it was a Dundee game, like that last minute Dundee goal where... That's when it started to go
that
well.
He
went off the rails.
I was surprised because I look back at it, like, Tori, I don't know if you're the same, but I thought that was like his first game or like his second game, but it was actually his fourth or fifth. Mm-hmm.
I think it took like...
I'm trying to find out which game it was, and I've just typed in Dundee results instead.
I think he'd taken 7 points from 15 available. Then that Dundee game occurred, and then he became totally unhinged.
Yeah, just threw everyone. The phrase throwing everyone under the bus sounds too shallow for what he done.
Because he threw everybody in a mincer.
Yeah, like, because that's like a throwaway line. He went so far.
His first game was, a 0-0 draw with Killian, and then they beat St Mirren, then they beat Motherwell. And then they got beat by St Mirren, and then got beat by Dundee with the last kick of the game, and then he just set fire to everything.
But they beat Motherwell, who at the time, every single team in there. Everyone was winning. Whitburn would have beat them.
Yeah.
With a goalie line and Dunny Pace. Yeah. Dunny Pace.
And they beat St Mirren at home, which isn't.
Yeah. So.
Notoriously bad away for home.
And then they met. So you're doing fine. And then they won bad performance. You're all fucking shite. I'm bigger than you're all fucking League Two nonsense.
That January transfer window is something else. That is around. Teddy Jenks, that's the one that really stands out for me.
Because everyone knows his shit.
He's been here already. He's been proven rubbish. Ever since then, his career's gone in the toilet to the point where Forest Green Rovers fans, the worst team in the English league, were like, why are you signing him?
Am I right in saying that Ross County...
And did he play them?
Am I right in saying that Ross County's three last year managers are now John Hughes...
Malky Mackay
and Derek Adams. Do you think any club in association football history has had a sequence of such dislikable managers ever? Like, where do they go for there? That like who else can they bring in that's in that ilk? The ghost of Thatcher.
She's taking over Don County at the end of the season. They're going to be co-managers.
John Hughes done all right, did he know, though?
He did die because they were bottom when Hughes took over. And I think bottom by 4 points, and he kept them up with a game to spare.
Aye, then okay. Very dislikable, though.
No, I know you're right. But a lot of people quite like John Hughes, though.
Yeah, well, they're wrong.
That's fine. But I wouldn't say that he's universally unpopular to the way that Adams and Malky Mackay would be.
No, yeah, that's a valid point. Maybe it's just in my house that they've got three really horrible managers.
Who do you dislike, Sean? You can just say anyone. That'd be the next one.
Thatcher.
Okay, she's in.
just her holding the scarf, but it's like that translucent. Like, you can see through her. Ross Marinka's Perenka injury time penalty to beat Queen's Park.
So this was funny. I mean, the incident was funny in terms of the fact they came back for like a goal down to win 3-2, two goals in and injury time. But see, what made it? It's kind of, I suppose it's a wee bit embarrassing now that I think about it, but. So I'd went to that game with, this is the way I'm embarrassed, I was embarrassed. So I went to the game with Andy Harrow, Kenny Harrow, his brother.
What a beamer!
No, wait, I'm coming to that point. So we kind of left the pub and the game had just started when we arrived. And Wraith had been given basically one block of seats. And they had like quite a big travelling support. Queen's Park fans, next block, as we kind of come in the tunnel to go into the stand, I suppose, realised that it was, we weren't going to get four seats together, but this block of Queen's Park fans, nobody at the front, like totally empty, Queen's Park fans at the top. So I'd say to Shoot, oh, listen, four of us just okay to sit here. Like, nobody, nowhere near anybody. Mm. Nowhere near any Queen's Park fans. No, you can't sit there. I was like, all right.
Inciting a riot.
He goes, well, that's a Queen's Park end. I goes, it doesn't look like we're going to get four seats together in the Rovers end. Right, well, you just have to sit separately. And I was like, right, okay. And I was like, listen, see, there's no stewards at the back. Let's just go up the back and we'll get four seats together, no worries. And we will be right next to the Queen's Park fans. What's the worst that could possibly happen? we're right up the back. Wait, so Queen's Park give out quite a lot of free kids tickets. Mm-hmm. So they're basically right next to the, whatever it was, I don't know, say 200 children. Thoroughly enjoying maybe one of the first games they've ever been to. They're all singing Queen's Park songs during the game.
Like.
Queen's Park, they're 2-1 up, they're thoroughly enjoying themselves. Then, for the last, I don't know, 2 minutes, they have an absolute goon from Kirkcaldy screaming his lungs, swearing and doing backflips right next to them, ruining their day. But listen, if only we'd got to sit at the front like with us, it would have been fine.
Well, there you go. It's the steward's fault.
Aye, exactly. Yeah, as always. Exactly. You never stop the pyro going out of Dundee, and now you're no stopping Sean, a middle-aged man rubbing into 200 children.
It's like Kerry and Andy Harrow had the beamers.
Yeah. Well, Sean's doing backflips and I'm doing that.
A Stennis Muir fan gets so angry with a Stranraer player that he flashes and rubs his belly at him.
I don't understand what's going on. What's going on in this clip?
I just love doing this because you can just speed it up and slow it down.
good audio.
I know.
It's not even good video. We can't even see it.
Look at that, Sean.
So to describe what's happening here, the Stennis Muir fan is unhappy at something that's going on. and he exposes his belly and just starts rubbing it. But I don't know. I think he's doing it.
Is that something in... FK5 is well known as a traditional way of showing displeasure.
I've never seen Telford do it before.
He's not like other boys in FK5.
There is somebody in the comments saying I see Telford's taking a divorce well. But it's definitely not Telford.
Yeah, I mean, he'd have to be married to get a divorce.
But I don't know what he's up to, but it's very funny, no matter what he's up to.
It's just that the commentator goes, so I'll press play and see if they can pick it up on the...
No one. I'll put the video on.
But it's just that the referee, the co-commentator, is this man's doing this, which I've no idea why he's doing it when he's angry, lifting up and rubbing his stomach. I don't know why that would be your show of rage. But then the commentator just goes, I don't know how the referee's going to deal with this. And I think in my head, he's talking about the man... But he's just talking about something else. I don't think anyone's caring about that at the moment, mate. We're all concentrating on this sort of like slightly overweight guy rubbing his tummy for no apparent reason. Good fun, though.
We encountered this man before in the flesh. That was at Annan Athletic. Speaking of Telford.
So it is the same guy, yeah.
Telford drove us down to Annan for a game at the start of last season. And I think Annan beat Steny 2-1. Mm-hmm. And it was an injury time. Or just about an injury time. And there was an Annan player down injured by the touchline. And the same fan was kind of like basically hanging over the railing, screaming abuse at this player, who eventually I think was stretchered off.
Yeah. I was like, because I remember saying that to you, like, this guy's getting so much dog's piece, but now he's probably not even going to be able to go to work.
Did he get his belly and nipples out that day as well?
No, he did not.
Thank goodness.
Because it's obviously it's so close, you could just run right down, he'd run right down the front. He's just screaming in the guy's face. Oh, but like, he does look hurt, by the way.
He just likes getting involved, doesn't he?
He does. And I bet after that, the camera goes away. He just goes like that. Strolls away like nothing's happened. He's not really pissed off at all. It's just like a tick. He got at the football. Fucking come on! Fuck you, you fucking idiot. I'd like to go to the pub with him in Telford.
There are some people who beat at football.
Maybe just Telford.
To see how awkward Telford would find the whole thing. Is this not your pal?
There are some people you meet at football who just seem like the most pleasant people, and then the game starts and they turn into absolute lunatic.
And was he pleasant?
I don't know. We never actually
met. Got close to him. He was too busy.
too busy screaming.
Yeah. Couldn't get a word in injuries.
Right, we'll do one more. Yeah, let's go for it. Ice skating slots for sale for the rink behind the goals at New Douglas Park at the same time as Hamilton face Falkirk in a League One title battle.
I don't understand how this works. When it's like when it's getting close to Christmas and they set up like an ice skating rink in the middle of
Wonderland.
Like surely Hamilton Accies didn't do that behind a goal.
They must have.
I find this difficult to believe.
Because surely I would know about it as well. Like, because all they could ever see is the times that you can book slots.
But they must have had some say in it, because I was looking at the replies and fans were saying this is ridiculous, and Hamilton responded by saying it won't be open during the time of the match. But also that seemed like a lot of shite as well, because there was times available to book while the match was going on.
3:45. I suppose that's half time. Maybe there was a 15 minute window over between.
Get on. Dangerous as fuck.
No, I'll be a tenner.
I was hoping that it would be on during it, because then you would have like the ball would be able to go on the ice rink. Someone hits a shot. Oh, woof! Whoa!
Just causes carnage.
Someone's just absolutely amazing. Just like that. Knees it, just volleys it back, but the ball gets. Burst on the way.
Right, that'll do us. If you'd like to hear more of the best moments in Scottish football so far this season, then you need to head over to the Patreon. That's patreon.com/terracepodcast, and this will be available on the £2 per month tier. I think that'll do us for now. Just make sure to subscribe to all the various channels that we're on: Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, or X, as it's now called. Do it on Facebook as well. Why not?
I'll give it to you.
I better subscribe to TikTok, because I couldn't open the video of the wrestling movie.
Oh, really?
I'd just let you discuss that one. But thankfully, you talked about Hulk Hogan, so it's fine.
We didn't even talk about it at all.
I was able to contribute.
It was weird. It was weird that Latourie got booked for basically being body slammed. There you go. There we go. We talked about that. Goodbye.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.